everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you've joined us.
It is yet another weekend, Dr. Linda.
It is. Yay for the weekend.
We did this show 7 days ago.
That's right. I love it though when the weekend comes. Part of it is because we're talking to people in the audience.
That's right. Hopefully they enjoy it too. I have a question for you. Have you ever met someone who thinks that 1 minute you're the greatest thing ever, and then the next minute they seem to really dislike you? And it seems like they see things in either black and white. There's no middle ground. There's no gray. It's not a possibility. Well, you may be dealing with someone with what we call borderline personality disorder. And on today's program, we're going to talk about what this disorder is and how it develops and how to live with someone who has it.
So one of the reasons we're talking about this today is because borderline personality is very difficult, not only for the people who have been diagnosed with this, but also for the people who have been living with someone who has this diagnosis. There's a great deal of frustration because the person is very volatile in their emotions, and it often creates a lot of drama in families.
I don't know a lot about this disorder. There's lots of psychological disorders we talk about, you know, depression and anxiety and all this thing.
You probably have run into somebody with this and didn't know it. And when you were talking at the beginning, Chris, and talking about this sort of all or nothing,
right,
black and white view on things, this is one of the hallmark characteristics of this disorder. So we're going to help each other. And we're going to help the audience understand this better and have some ideas about what you can do to have a relationship with someone with borderline personality disorder.
Well, to start out, you have a list of questions that might help me and our listeners to think about if they're dealing with someone with borderline personality disorder.
So when I'm asking these questions, if you say yes to these, this is going to be an indication to you that it might be someone with this personality disorder. Do you feel like you have to tiptoe around the person? A lot of times, Chris, people will say, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells.
Right, eggshells, right.
Yeah. Does the person shift from emotional extremes? Just like what you said at the beginning. Mm. 1 minute they like you, 1 minute they don't. Does the person often see you as all good or all bad?
See, there's that black and white thing again.
Yep,
right?
Yep. Do you feel like you can't win? So there's constant drama and conflict. Is everything your fault? And this has to do with blaming you for things that are going on internally with them. And do you feel manipulated by guilt, fear, or even outrageous behavior?
How many of these do you actually have to answer yes to before you get into the realm of dealing with someone with borderline personality disorder?
Yeah, so this isn't diagnostic. This is really just trying to get you to think, when I'm in relationship with somebody, is this how I'm feeling on the other end? They're like red flags. They're like signaling you that maybe something deeper could be going on.
Well, give us a definition of what borderline personality disorder actually is.
That'd be a great place to start. So it is considered a psychiatric diagnosis, and it's in the category of a lot of different kinds of personality disorders. So this particular one is the same as a lot of other types of personality disorders in that you have to have what they call an enduring pattern of behavior. And all that means is you have develop certain patterns of the way you behave, the way you think, the way you act that really characterizes your relationships with other people. And those patterns are not exactly the normal way that people should react or respond to things that happen. When a person behaves like this, then, Chris, it creates a lot of distress in either his or her life and in the life of people around them. And it can get in the way of developing healthy relationships with other people. It can cause problems at work, at home, at school, or anywhere. So think of it like a unique way of thinking, feeling, and behavior. And we're not making a character judgment on somebody. Rather, this is a clinical term that means that your pattern of relating to the world is significantly different from the norm. In other words, you don't act in ways that most people expect. And this causes consistent problems for you in many areas of your life, such as those mentioned, your relationships, your career, and even your feelings about yourself and other people.
Is this something that you can find in a child, or is it diagnosed later?
Because the diagnosis is dependent on you having persistent behavior patterns that take time to develop, we don't usually make this diagnosis before the age of 18. Occasionally, maybe around 15, 16, 17, but this is not a diagnosis you give to a child because the diagnosis depends on somebody getting really set in their ways and interacting with people in very specific ways that takes time to build over the years.
Is it something you can look back on, and if the diagnosis is made at the age of 20, can you look back and say, yeah, when they were 8 years old, this is sort of what we saw?
You could see beginning patterns in the way the child is responding, but it doesn't really come together until a person is older, more independent, trying to deal with people on their own.
So what's going on with someone with borderline personality disorder inside, internally? There must be a distress or some emotional pain somewhere.
There is, and it's characterized by this constant fear of being abandoned. So the person with this disorder will do everything possible to avoid abandonment. That is the main fear. And so they might just cut off a relationship with somebody suddenly because they're thinking, if I don't do that, that person's going to leave me.
It's a defense mechanism.
It's defensive, right. And they're testing people all the time to see if they're going to really stick with them through really awful things or bad things because they just don't want to be abandoned. So the person can get very upset at small things like maybe somebody comes home from work late. And this is rooted then in their brain. They're thinking, uh-oh, they came home late. They're going to leave me. They're going to abandon me. And then that fear leads the person to do this back and forth. You are good. No, you're not good. And any little thing can lead the person to think that you're the good guy one moment, the bad guy the next, because they desperately want to keep you close. So they might beg you to stay, track your every movement, block you from leaving. Then what happens is the very things that they're doing are going to cause people to not want to be with them. And actually, it will actually lead to some real reality of abandonment.
Is it reasonable to say that, as I look back, I remember as a teenager in high school, you had girls that were really, you might say, catty about this type of thing. And sure enough, they came from a divorced family. Is that a pattern?
I think divorce can be one of those things that really pushes that fear of abandonment to a new level for people. But usually there's a lot of things in a person's life that have been emotionally challenging. You know, they might have had childhood trauma. A lot of people have been abused or they've been neglected. Maybe they have a parent who was addicted and couldn't pay attention to their emotional needs. And so they lived their life almost like an exposed nerve where they're highly sensitive to anything and everything, and anything can trigger an intense reaction.
Wow. In the past, I've heard you talk about brain differences in a number of mental health disorders. Are there brain differences in the people who have borderline personality disorder?
Yes, the brain is quite complex and it acts like it's on high alert most of the time. So, you know, the flight or fight mechanism that we have,
right,
that gets switched on. And the rational brain is being hijacked in that process. But the good news is you can change your brain, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
I'm a real theme park junkie, and I love roller coasters. But if you're dealing with this in a relationship, that can be a little bit of a problem. And living with someone with borderline personality disorder is that up and down type thing.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. And that's what really makes it difficult, because the person becomes highly emotional, has trouble calming down. They're very reactive. They have these chronic feelings of emptiness related to that fear of abandonment. And they're always looking to other people to make them feel better. And they're always getting disappointed because we know that other people can't help us feel better about what's internally going on with us. Knowing that God is about the only person in our life, really, if you think about it, that won't disappoint and won't let us down. He never leaves us. He never rejects us. That is part of the healing, is to help people understand who God is and that people are not going to measure up to God.
So when you have this concoction of these up and down emotions and the fears of abandonment, are people with borderline personality disorder impulsive?
Yes, and that's another characteristic, because you know, you're just engaging in things to try to get that fulfillment that you want.
Yeah.
So it can be really damaging to the person, because a lot of times they act out in risky sexual ways. They might be spending more money than they can afford. Sometimes they're using drugs and alcohol just to feel better for the moment. Even reckless driving or even binge eating. So these risky behaviors make a person feel good for the moment, but like we all know, they hurt you later and they hurt those around you.
Should we be concerned that someone with borderline personality disorder may be impulsive and suicidal?
That's a grave concern, and it's often the case, because the person is feeling impulsive, empty, fearing abandonment. They can make suicidal gestures, and often they engage in self-injury too, which is a little different than suicide. Self-injury is more of a call for attention and help. But on the flip side of that, Chris, they can also be very angry. They can lash out with temper tantrums. So the emotional reactions are extreme, and that's what makes relationships difficult.
This person is emotionally just wound up. Can they calm down?
So most of us learn to calm ourselves and to sort of soothe our negative feelings in our childhood and our teen years. I mean, that's the work, right? When you're going through puberty and stuff, you're supposed to learn how to regulate all right. that stuff in your body, regulate your emotions, learn how to tolerate distress. The person with borderline has a hard time a lot of times because they've not seen that modeled in the home. They've had chaotic home experiences and difficult relationships. So one of the keys here is going to be helping that person settle down. And what happens, and this is what, again, makes it so difficult, is that when the person is feeling so awful, they will say hurtful things or they'll act in dangerous or inappropriate ways. And then you feel guilty and ashamed because you see what's going on. It's this painful cycle that can just feel impossible to escape, but it's not. And it just takes a lot of work.
Wow. Well, the good news, as you said earlier, that it is treatable. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, let's take a short break. And when we return, how can you deal better with someone who has borderline personality disorder?
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and today's topic is living with borderline personality disorder. And we've got a lot more to talk about, but before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media. And remember, an easy way to know what she is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Linda Mintel. And you can listen to the podcast on iTunes as well. As we continue this discussion about living with borderline personality disorder, let's talk about ways to help and calm things down.
So the goal is really to learn to deal with those intense feelings that you're having. One of the ways you can do that is by using what's called mindfulness techniques. And we hear a lot about mindfulness. It's all over, you know, the self-help kind of websites and people trying to figure out what that means. It really is just attending to the moment and being aware of what you feel. It's a question of just getting focused on maybe some kind of emotion. So here's how you could do it. You could just realize and observe that, oh, I'm having a really intense emotion. I think most of us, if we focus on that, can say, what am I feeling right now? Is it really intense? And then emotions are kind of like waves on the ocean, Chris, where they come and they go. So we need to remember that an emotion just comes and then it goes.
Okay. With borderline disorder, are the waves taller or are they more frequent?
Yes, it's a good way to think about it because they get taller and more frequent. So they're lapping and they're crashing and they're doing all kinds of things. But if you focus on the physical sensation that you're having at the moment you're having a strong emotion and you tell yourself that, okay, that's what I'm feeling right now. I can observe that. I can see that. And remind yourself, it's just a feeling. It's not a reality. And that feeling will come and that feeling will go.
Right.
That is one way to be mindful. It's kind of observing your thoughts, accepting your thoughts, and then going, it's okay. This is going to come and go. It's not reality. Just because I feel something doesn't mean that's what's really going on.
Well, let's talk about self-care for a minute. I mean, we all get under stress and that can push us to act in ways that are not so good. But if we're tired, not eating well, and generally not taking care of our bodies, I would think that could be a problem.
Like any problem we struggle with, taking care of our body during stress makes a big difference. And we've had shows on that where we've talked about a number of things that you can do to reduce your stress. This is no different. One of the first things I would say is avoid any mood-altering drug. Drugs of any kind are not helpful. This is one of the disorders where medication isn't that helpful for the actual borderline personality disorder part. Any drug, any substance. And remember, I don't remember in the first segment we talked about that people with this disorder tend to use substances because they're so wound up and they're so distressed internally. Why do people use drugs? To calm themselves down.
Change the way they feel.
Right, to calm it down. But this does not help. Another good thing for self-care is to eat a balanced and nutritional diet. And again, that just reduces stress when you're not just getting a lot of sugar and fat and empty calories. That might wind you up a little bit more. Exercising regularly, minimizing stress when you can, which is why structuring your life really helps. and then practicing some relaxation techniques, something like doing a Pilates class or relaxing with a book or listening to worship music. Any of those would be helpful.
Dr. Linda, what about getting a good night's sleep? Would that help getting more rest?
Yeah, are you remembering we've done shows on that?
Yes.
We've talked about sleep and stress, haven't we?
It helps everything.
Remember we were going to write the sleep book, the sleep diet? Because we know how much sleep helps every condition probably known.
Right.
Here's the big takeaway from all of this, Chris, is that rather than doing anything in the heat of the moment, you have to learn to control that impulsivity and tolerate distress when it comes up. This is the key to changing the destructive pattern of someone with this disorder. Their ability to tolerate distress, press pause when they're really, really upset rather than acting out. Instead of reacting to the difficult emotions that they might be feeling with self-destructive behavior, they have to learn to ride out those emotions while remaining in control. And that's where the work of therapy really helps.
You mentioned tolerating distress. How does a person do that?
Well, you get in touch with your emotions first, and then you tell yourself, you know what? These are emotions. I can live with these emotions. I can learn to have them and not have them go out of control. But you have to manage them. They're unpleasant. This is why people use substances. They don't want to feel negative emotions.
Right.
I mean, think about our culture. We live in a time where you feel bad, just do something, take something, you know, but we don't want to take substances to get away with that. And then these practicing strategies where you learn to stay calm and you don't react impulsively in situations, that's the work.
You know, there are days, and I'm sure that with this disorder, some days are just worse than others. You feel really, really bad. Then what do you do?
So distraction is a good technique. I think it's a good technique for someone with borderline personality disorder and someone who just struggles with their emotions, period, where you draw your attention away from the intensity of the moment. It's one of the most effective strategies that you can use. So you might distract yourself by thinking of something that you really like, just switching your thoughts in your brain for a moment, watching TV. You know, if you're sad, you're upset, you're really agitated, put on a comedy. You know, put on something that will sort of take your mind off of the moment.
Or you could engage in a hobby, something you enjoy.
Yeah. And so maybe even reading a book would do something to take your mind off it. Play a computer game. Do a Sudoku or word puzzle. I mean, again, what are we doing? We're taking the brain off of the intensity of the emotion, and we're distracting to re-engage that thinking part of our brain and to calm ourselves down. Another one is just throw yourself into some kind of work. Do a chore. Clean your house. Do yard work, go grocery shopping, groom your pet, do something, the laundry. If you do that, your brain's going to calm down.
What about calling a friend or getting someone on the phone to discuss this?
That's really helpful, but you can't use the friend to start complaining and getting real wound up again. So sometimes we call a friend and we're just reworking the problem. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is get someone you trust and let that person help you get perspective, maybe calm you down a little bit. So the goal would be to calm you down, not go over all the negative stuff.
That would be me on the phone.
Yeah.
It'd just get a lot worse.
I'll distract you if you call me that way, and I'll say, let's talk about something else.
Right.
That would be a good distraction.
You know, one of the things you said before is that this disorder makes having healthy relationships a challenge. People get annoyed with you easily. Why is this?
Because you have so much trouble stepping back and seeing things from another person's perspective. It's very easy to misread the thoughts and feelings of others and misunderstand how others see you. And it's often hard for the person to see how their behavior is affecting other people. It's like the person has a blind spot on relationship. And so what happens is there's a lot of blame.
So part of the problem is that the person thinks he or she can read your mind and is convinced that other people are motivated to hurt them or abandon them.
Well, here's how the work of therapy really helps, because you're right, the person misreads cues. So for instance, if someone hung up the phone in a hurry, someone with borderline personality disorder might think, oh, that person doesn't like me anymore. Mm. They're not really my friend.
Right.
And, you know, that may not be it at all. The person is not thinking of all the other possibilities, like maybe the person got called into a meeting, or maybe they had to use the restroom, or any other number of reasons. Maybe the person just needed to get their cup of coffee in the morning.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't about them. But the misreading of those cues is what makes relationships tough.
And because it's hard for someone with borderline personality disorder to accurately read the intentions of others, this would make it difficult for them to take responsibility for the role they play in making relationships difficult. That's sort of a mouthful. Maybe you can unpackage that a little bit.
Well, it's one of the main problems, not looking at your part when the problems come up. So it's so important to ask yourself, did I have any part in that problem or conflict? I mean, we all need to do that when we run into a conflict or a problem. Can I look at it from the point of view of the other person, not just my point of view? People with borderline personality disorder, Chris, have to learn to do this. This is essential. And there's actually a biblical directive on this. Jesus said, take out the plank out of your own eye before pointing the finger at others.
Well, we're talking about borderline personality disorder today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and there's more to come, but first, we need to take a short break. Back in a moment.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website or online. And don't forget, you can listen to the podcast of this program anytime on iTunes.
And I hope this is one people listen to more than once, because this is a lot of information that we're throwing at people.
Right.
But we really want you to understand borderline personality disorder, what that involves, how difficult it is for the person who suffers with it, and then how difficult it is for their relationships and the people that are living with someone with this disorder. But the good news, Chris, and we're going to focus on this now, is that there is help, and we know how to help treat this.
Well, let's start with the first option. Does medication help with borderline personality disorder?
Even though a lot of people take medication that might have this diagnosis, the fact is there is very little research showing that it is helpful. What's more, the FDA has not approved any medications for the treatment of borderline personality disorder. So this is different from some of the other mental health disorders that we have talked about on this show, like bipolar disorder and depression, where medication is really an integral part of treatment. Medications can make a real difference in those disorders, but not for personality disorders, because these are about helping the person regulate their emotions, tolerate distress, and become more interpersonally effective.
Well, if medication isn't ideal for this, is therapy a good approach?
This is the approach. It's a requirement to really change the way the person is dealing with other people. And there's a very specialized approach to treatment. So healing is a matter of breaking the dysfunctional patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving that are causing the distress.
So you said breaking habits. Lifelong habits aren't easy to break. That's hard for everyone. So this really does take a lot of work on the part of the person with borderline personality disorder. Is there a specific type of therapy that someone should look at that has been proven effective?
Yes, and we call those evidence-based treatments. And there is one that is very good for borderline personality disorder. It's called dialectical behavior therapy.
Not dialectical.
No, dialectical, right? Dialectical behavior therapy. So the acronym for that is DBT. So you might not remember what it stands for, but if you go and you ask for someone who does DBT, a therapist will know what you're talking about. And the focus of that therapy is to help a person be more mindful of their thoughts, emotion, and behaviors. Remember, we talked about the need for mindfulness.
Right.
It also focuses on self-regulating those up and down emotions. It also has a bunch of skills that help a person tolerate distress in a good way, and it helps that person be more interpersonally effective in their relationships. So you work with a therapist and a small group, and the therapy is very, very successful for this disorder. There's another type that you might decide to use called schema-focused therapy. That's schema, S-C-H-E-M-A, and all a schema is the way you think. So it's focused on your thoughts, that prompt the negative emotions and behaviors that you have. And many experts believe that weekly therapy involving education about the disorder, family support, and social and emotional skills training can treat most people with borderline personality disorder.
Working with a therapist could be a little scary.
Yeah, that's such an important point, because when you work with a counselor or a therapist, you do have to develop a trusting relationship with that person. It's a little similar to moving forward in your relationship with God. You have to develop a relationship with God and trust Him to be good and working on your behalf. So once you find that right person, you need to commit to that therapy. You might start out thinking that your therapist is going to be your savior. Chris, when I've worked with someone with this disorder, they come into my office and they go, I've been to 5 people and you're just going to be the best. And I get really worried when I hear that.
Right.
And I usually say, I'm not that good. And I'm going to disappoint you and let you down, because eventually they'll get disillusioned with their therapist, because the therapist is going to push them a little bit in directions they don't want to go. So remember, when you have these switches, if you're someone who's struggling with this and you go from idealizing a person to demonizing a person, that's a symptom of your disorder. Only God is perfect and won't ever disappoint you.
There it is. You said God.
Not other people.
Right. And the message is that there is hope for your life to get better.
Not only is there hope because of the treatment, but because God is for you, not against you. He has good things for you, and He doesn't want you derailed. So ask for His help as you move forward. And for those of you living with someone who has borderline personality disorder, educate your family. Use what you have learned today to calm things down and be an advocate for help. Most people have to get therapy to relearn how to engage better with people. Emphasize to your friend or loved one that there are good treatments to help them be more effective in their relationship and live the life that they were created to live. There's always hope and there's healing. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, hey, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together. And it's better when you don't have to do it alone. You and I can make everything a little better. Doing life together. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.